Well, good morning. I'm glad to be here. Appreciate so much the invitation to come to be with you. As we were studying the class this morning, Ecclesiastes, you know, you see that life just offers you a lot of problems. My mama called me last night, and she's moved to Madison recently. My wife is taking care of her, and she called me, and she threatened to take her life last night. And so that's been weighing on my mind through the night. And I went to the doctor yesterday and got medicine, and I'm on medication. I'm not supposed to be driving. And I found that out this morning. Why? Because I couldn't follow a GPS to get out here and got lost. But there are all sorts of things that happen to you in life. And you just have to determine you're going to do what God said, and that's all that matters. And whatever piles up in the road, you just find some way to go through the mountain, over to around it. And so I'm glad you're here, and I appreciate your coming. I sat this morning in a class I needed to hear in Ecclesiastes. That's a great book. It just shows that the time and chance comes to all of us. And we just got to keep on doing what we've got to do. We don't know what's between us and the grave. And so I'm glad you're here this morning. If you're visiting, I want you to know I'm a visitor. And so don't judge these people by me. You come back and be with them again when I'm not here and see what goes on and make another decision about what you'll do. But we're glad you're here. We appreciate so much. The singing, praising God, that's what life is about. That's what we were designed to do. And it's good to see there are people who want to do that and desire that very thing. I want you to turn this morning in your Bible to the 7th chapter of Matthew. I was going to look at something else, but that's as good as any, isn't it? When you look at the 7th chapter of Matthew, you see really this conclusion being drawn to the Sermon on the Mount. And it's a picture in this 7th chapter. When you look at the Gospel of Matthew, you notice that the Gospel of Matthew is the Gospel of the Kingdom. And you can see that because when you look at Matthew 5, 6, and 7, here's this picture of Jesus painting a picture of kingdom citizens. The kind of people they would be, the kind of heart, humble people, people who are broken in spirit, and people who come to God searching to find what is right. It's a picture of the kind of people who want to do what God said, a picture of those kind of people. He shows us the trouble and problems we have sometimes. We can take religion in the 6th chapter, and we can kind of make a show out of it. We want to do things to be seen of people and to be recognized, so we can take praying for people to hear us, or we can fast so people can notice us. We can give alms so we can draw attention to ourselves. Or we can do those things because God wants us to do that. And so let's not use religion to be on some kind of a parade. We can do that if we're not careful. And in the 7th chapter, Jesus shows us in the 7th chapter, verse 1, to be careful about our judgments. Sometimes our judgments are not the judgments of God. Would you have been going down the road and seen a little man up in a tree named Zacchaeus and said, "Zacchaeus, you come down, for today's salvation has come to your house." And to have known that this man who had been somewhat of an embezzler, a tax collector, a man who had not been what he should have been, would you have seen that man, thought that man was somebody of great value, and went to his house? I don't know if I would have done that. Would you have thought about so many cases in the New Testament where you see Jesus looking at something and seeing it in a way that I would never have seen that? And so when we think about the fact that we've got to be careful about the judgment we make and make sure that they are righteous judgments, we're trying to do what God has to say. And in the 7th chapter, in verse 13, Jesus really gives us an invitation to think about something that we should think about in our lives when he says in Matthew 7, in verse 13, there this statement is made about regarding the way we go and the direction we take in our life and how we think about religion. Listen to what's said in verse 13. Jesus says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." And so Jesus is inviting us here, good people, to an invitation to come into this narrow, restricted way that is confined, where you can't do everything that you want to do. Many people want religion today, and they kind of see religion, well, I'll kind of make God the way I want, and I'll design my own Jesus, and I'll follow somebody that I think that I should want to follow and that I would like, and that's not what the Bible teaches. We've got to make up our mind, if we're going to be God's servants, we've got to go into this narrow, confining, restricted way. When I was a young boy growing up in the country, my daddy was a farmer. I'd grown up and got out of the military, and I bought a brand new Dodge van and went down to show my dad my new Dodge van. And I got down there, and he said, "Hey, I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad you got this van." He said, "I bought 2 calves, and my truck's broke down. I can't get those calves over to the farm. I want you to use your van. Go over and we'll haul those calves over here." I said, "Dad, this is a brand new van." He said, "Oh, they won't hurt much." He said, "We'll go through the creek so there won't be any cars. We can go slow. We can drive slow through the creek and nobody will be traveling that way. And so we won't have to get in a hurry. And so it'll be okay." And I said, "Are you sure?" And he said, "Yeah." So we went over to this guy's farm. He had a couple of calves, weighed about 150 pounds apiece. My dad said, now you get back in the back and you get those calves in an arm lock and you hold on to them, and I'm going to drive real slow down through that creek and we're going to get home. And so here we go down through the creek, rocking around and going this way and going around trees and rocks. There were no cars, nobody trying to pass us, nobody blowing the horn. There was nobody traveling the road. We had it all to ourselves. And a little while, those calves got excited and did something to make the van get real slippery inside. So we started sliding around, moving this way and that way. But we got where we were going. It was dangerous. It was a treacherous road. And it was difficult to go. But let me tell you, it was a road that there weren't many people traveling on. Let me tell you, going to heaven is that way. And if you make up your mind, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go a way that is treacherous and difficult and hard. And even though sometimes it seems like the steep is the greatest steep and I'm having a difficult time, I'm going to stay on the road that is narrow and confining. Because I know when I look at all the people around me and I look at what people are doing, I see the masses going in a way that doesn't seem to lead the way the Lord wants me to go. And so when you think about that, listen then to what Jesus says in Matthew 7 and verse 21 when he says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. I want you to notice something about this statement that is made here. When Jesus says, not everyone that saith, this could literally be rendered, no, not one. No, not one that says, Lord, Lord. And you know, Jesus said in Luke 6:46, why do you say, Lord, Lord, call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? So there are people who say, Lord, Lord. There are people who all the time talk about God, how much they love God, how much they love the Lord. But let me tell you what the issue is in life. You know what the real issue is in life today? Jesus said the people who are going to go to heaven, there's one issue to think about. He said, the will of my Father which is in heaven. So it doesn't really matter what people think. It doesn't matter what is politically correct, what everybody else might be doing. The real issue in life is, am I going to do the Father's will? Am I going to listen to what my Bible says? Listen to what the Holy Spirit has inspired. Listen to those words of the apostles, the church in Acts 2 and verse 47 when they began. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching. That's what they did. And so what we should be doing today is doing the same thing they did. Let's just keep going back to the apostles' teaching. Because what we know is that this message we're seeing here is a divisive message. It says, no, not one that saith. And so there's some people who say, Lord, Lord, and there are others, some people profess that they're doing the Lord's will, but other people prove they're doing the Lord's will. They do what He says. And so Jesus said, don't be like a person who says, well, Lord, Lord, there are a lot of people who say they believe in God, and they say, well, you're saved by faith only, and they don't do what God says. They don't believe what God says, but they say that they believe in the Lord. Well, they're not doing His will. And so the danger, good people, we need to see in life, and what we need to think about is, individuals, this is written to people who would be God's people in this kingdom, you see. We need to make sure that what we do is see the real issue today is, are we going to do what the Lord has said? So the claim, and notice the claim that Jesus makes here. Have you ever noticed in these verses, He says, no, again, not everyone that saith Lord, Lord shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth my Father's will. Can you imagine what that meant to these people who were listening to Jesus today when He was speaking? They were looking at a man, looking at Jesus, and they thought they knew about Him, thought they knew where He was born, knew His family, knew his family members, but they didn't know when Jesus said, they've got to do my Father's will. Can you see the claim that that makes on Jesus? Jesus said, I'm telling you, if you want to go to heaven, you've got to do my Father's will. And then notice, not just that, but notice what else He says about that. When He goes on to say in verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Thy name? In Thy name cast out devils, in Thy name done many wonderful works? No, there are going to be people standing in the judgment day, and they're convinced today we're doing God's will. We're doing what God said. But Jesus said, let me tell you what you did. You did all those things, and you said you were doing them in my name. But you were doing things without my law. When we do something without the law of God, and we determine we're going to do something, and we don't say, what does the book say first of all? Where is the book, the chapter, and the verse, what we're talking about? We've got to make sure, good people, that what we do is what the Lord said. Do His will. And so Jesus said, what we've got to do is we've got to make sure in that day when we stand before the Lord and say, we did Your will, we want to make sure we didn't do works. Notice what verse 23 says. And then will I profess on them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that worketh iniquity. Now those here people, they're thinking the Lord's going to be pleased with them. You can be sitting here today. You might say, well, I believe in the Lord, and I love the Lord, and I'm trying to do what the Lord said. But if you're not opening your book and looking at your book and seeing the issue is you've got to do the Father's will, and so you spend your time looking and reading and memorizing and studying and restudying and rethinking. I was studying on the seat, and I didn't know the brother's name that's teaching the class, Brother Guy McDaniels, this morning. I remember meeting a guy 35 years ago in Huntsville, Alabama. He talked a lot like this guy, and he looked like this guy. He might be the same guy. I don't know. I'd forgotten 35 years ago. I hadn't seen him since. But I thought, what a marvel to see somebody. I don't know how old he is. I suspect he's getting up there. But for him to stand up here and his mind is just filled up and listen to these other people in the class talking and saying things in the Bible and seeing how their minds are set, we're trying to know the issue is we've got to do the Father's will. That's the issue. And nothing else is going to matter. It doesn't matter what we say. Doesn't matter what we think. Doesn't matter what we might feel is the right thing. You know, I've heard a lot of people talk about how people feel many times. I heard about a preacher one time talking to a lady, and she said she was saved. And this preacher said, well, how do you know you were saved? She said, well, I went to a tent meeting, and the preacher was preaching. And when he started preaching, I started feeling like I was floating. I felt like I was floating out like a feather, floating up off the floor. I just felt that way. And she said, he kept preaching, and she said, I just kept feeling like I was getting higher and higher and higher. And so the preacher said, well, now let me ask you something. You say you felt like you were saved? She said, yes. He said, well, you said you felt like you were a feather. Were you a feather? She said, well, no, I wasn't a feather. I just felt like I was a feather. I wasn't really a feather. He said, well, you said you felt like you were floating. Were you really floating? She said, no, I wasn't really floating. I just felt like I was floating. He said, well, then maybe your salvation is like your feather and you're floating. You don't have salvation either. You see, we don't have salvation because we feel something. We have salvation because we have faith in something. We take our finger and we put on what God said and we try to do what God has said. And so Jesus said, this is a narrow, confining way, and you've got to make up your mind. You've got to decide, are you going to see that the issue is we've got to do the Father's will, and the claim Jesus is making is that you must do my Father's will, and you're going to say to me, can you imagine the Jews in Jesus' day listening to him make such a large claim? You're going to say to me in the judgment day. These people were looking at Jesus wondering, who does he think he is? He's the Son of God. And if he's the Son of God, good people, we had better pay attention to what Jesus has to say. And notice, then he says also in verse 24, therefore whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house on a rock. Here's the picture of Jesus saying to them, you know what you've got to do? You've got to hear these sayings of mine. And if you hear these sayings of mine and you do them, you're building on a rock. You're going to be a wise person. So when you think about the fact of the matter, we must listen to the Father's will. We must do what Jesus says. That's the issue. And Jesus said, when you do that, you're building your house on a rock. I had a friend in Louisville, Kentucky years ago. I was not educated. I'm not an educated person. And I'm not a real smart person. I try to do a lot of things with practical common knowledge. And one time my friend called me and he said, hey, I'd like to have a basement under my house. And I said, well, I'll tell you what. I'll come over to the shovel, old buddy, and we'll start digging. We'll dig you a basement. He said, are you serious? I said, yeah, we'll do it. So we started digging down under his old farmhouse, and we noticed there were a bunch of rocks piled around the outside of it for a foundation. There wasn't anything poured down there. No foundation poured, just rocks had been put around there, and the house built on that. So we moved some out of the way, and we started digging a stairway down in there. We got a stairway down there, dug down there, made an opening. We carried his toolbox down there and had a little place we could work. He said, man, this is great. I love this. I said, well, wonderful. Well, about 2 months went by. He said, you know something? I've got a problem. I said, what? He said, I need a little bit more room down here. I said, no, hang on, old buddy. We got our shovels out and went to work some more. And we dug on down through that side wall and made a nice big area in there, and it worked fine. He just loved it. Well, it happened that about 2 weeks of solid rain came in Louisville, Kentucky. And my old buddy called me on the phone. He said, Gary, what are you doing? I said, I'm sitting here in the house out of the rain. He said, get over here quick. He said, bring your jacks and blocks and whatever you got. I said, what's the matter? He said, I was sitting in the living room, and I heard the house kind of make a screeching noise and a shake like an earthquake, and I looked at my glass of tea on the table, and the ring on my table where the glass was sitting in there, the tea was cockeyed in the glass. And I got to looking, and I noticed my house was slipping down and sliding into the basement. We got to jack this thing up. You know what we did wrong? There was no foundation under the building. There was nothing to hold. When the storm and the rain came, we didn't know that it was going to be tested by the storm, but it was. The storm is what proved we didn't have it. We weren't setting on the right foundation. And there are a lot of people who build religion and do religious things, but they do not have the foundation. What is the foundation? Jesus said, hear these sayings of mine. If we just keep listening to Jesus and keep coming back to this, and if Jesus didn't say something about it, don't you say anything either. But if He says something about it, you say what He said. And don't ever be afraid. Don't ever be intimidated. You know, you look at the religious world we're living in, and people often tell us, well, you know, they'll say, well, one religion is just as good as another. There's really no difference in religion. That's about like saying, you know, I've been to China. And I've had people say sometimes, well, one Chinese looks just like every other Chinese. You can't tell one from the other. Well, you know what that means? You don't know any Chinese people because they look different and they are different. Sometimes people say that about black people. Well, black people all look the same. You know what that means? You don't know any black people. And when you look at something and you say, well, they all look the same, you don't know anything about religion. You need to read your Bible. You need to see that when you look at your Bible and you look at what people do and what they think and what they say, we need to see that what divides us is not that we want to be. We're not just trying to be different. I read about a man in England years ago. He was going down the street and he saw this clock. A man had a big grandfather clock for sale, and he wanted to buy it. And the man was going out of business, so he said, "I want to buy that clock." And the man said, "Well, you got to take it right now because I'm closing and I won't be here tomorrow." And the man said, "Well, I'm on a bicycle." And he said, "Well, I'll help you strap that clock on your back, and you can ride your bicycle home with that clock on your back." He said, "Oh, yeah, we'll get it." So they strapped that big clock on his back and got on his bicycle riding down the street. Well, he got down to a corner. When he turned the corner, that clock went out in the street, and here comes a guy on a bicycle. He swerves to miss that and has a bad bicycle wreck. And so he stops, and the man sets his clock down. He gets back and says, "Are you okay?" And the guy in the street gets up and said, "Yeah." But he said, "What's wrong with you? Are you crazy?" And the man said, "No, I don't think so." He said, "Why can't you wear a wristwatch like everybody else?" You see, sometimes people think we just want to be weird. No, we don't want to be weird. We just want to be right. We want to do what God says. That's why the trouble we have with people most often is because they don't see the big issue. We've got to do the Father's will. They don't see that really the verdict is, when the claim is that Jesus said, we've got to hear what He says. We've got to do His Father's will. We're going to be judged. We're going to say to Him one day. And so if we take His word and say and do what He says, we're building on the rock. But if we don't do that, Jesus said, there are people who, Jesus said, they hear My word, they read My word, but they do not do what I said. And so that's a fellow building his house on the sand. Have you ever done something like that, built something somewhere, and it's not stable, not secure? Down in where I'm from, in Campbellsville, Kentucky, there's a schoolhouse, an old schoolhouse, set there for, it must have been 100 years, on the side of the creek, and we had a big flood come up. And when we went back to school after that flood settled down, the schoolhouse was about 2 blocks away. The old flood just picked it up in the creek, moved it on down the road, and set it sideways down the road in the edge of the creek. There was nothing holding that school in place. We've got to have something, good people, some foundation, some grounding, so we can say what is right and what is wrong. And the only way we can do that is to say, what does the Lord say about that? What can we read in the Word of God? And so Jesus is helping us see here, good people, that it's a serious matter about the claim that Jesus made. It was a serious claim that He made. It's a serious issue that we need to do the Father's will. But now notice what we read again in verse 23. I want you to know something about the verdict of it. You know, there's going to be a judgment. We talked about that in class this morning. The book of Ecclesiastes keeps pitching up the ideal that if you look at life, one thing you've got to always remember, you may not pay attention to God. But let me tell you something that will get your attention. We're all going to die. And there's going to be a judgment after that. Well, this brother right here quoted Hebrews 9:27. And so we saw in this morning what we need to understand about that is that death is out there in front of you. You're going to die, and there's going to be a judgment day. So what you need to do every day is keep thinking about the fact that there's going to be a judgment. I had a friend that went to a town, and he was visiting in, and he pulled up to this section, an intersection. A tree had grown out on the street there, and he couldn't see this stop sign until he got up close to the intersection. And when he saw it at the last minute, well, he didn't really stop. He just kind of looked both ways and coasted on through. Well, the policeman came up, turned the lights on, pulled my old friend over, and said, "Bethel, sir, what are you doing?" And he said, "Well, what do you mean?" He said, "Did you see that stop sign back there?" He said, "Well, I didn't see it till the last minute." And he said, "When I came up to it, I slowed down and I almost stopped. But I didn't completely stop, but I almost stopped." He said, "What's the difference right here between stopping and almost stopping?" And the policeman said, "Sir, I don't know what the difference is where you're from, but around here, stopping and almost stopping is a $25 difference." You see, there's a difference between almost doing it and doing what God says. And so when we notice here the verdict, Jesus said, you see what the verdict is? Therefore, in verse 23, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, I never approved of you, depart from me, ye that worketh iniquity. And then look down at verse 26. When Jesus shows us about these people who build on the sand, verse 26, everyone who heareth these things of mine and doeth them not shall be like unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rains ascended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon it, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. I want you to think about what we're talking about when we look at the fact of the matter that we don't see the claim of Jesus, we don't see the issue, and we don't understand the verdict. There's something serious about all this. And we don't just sometimes take it as serious as we should. Warnings that are given. Have you ever thought about all the things in life we've had some kind of indication of a warning, but we didn't believe that? We think now that we may have had a 2-day warning before Pearl Harbor ever took place. Somebody heard it on the airwaves, but we just didn't believe something like that could really happen, and so we didn't do anything about that. We think now that there may have been a 2-day warning about September the 11th. We got some message to the airwaves. Somebody heard that, but we just didn't think that could happen. I was driving down the road years ago going to a meeting, and it was late at night. I was driving around this curve, and I was doing 55 miles an hour, and all of a sudden I went around this curve, and the road disappeared. And I went off the road, went across the ditch, and went up into a farmer's yard, and my lights were shining up on his house, and the old boy comes out and turned the porch light on. And he looked down at me and said, are you okay? And I said, yes, sir, but what happened? He said, what do you mean? I said, where did the highway go? He said, well, the kids around here think it's funny to take that 25-mile-an-hour speed sign down. There was no warning, no sign, and I didn't see it. But let me tell you, God has not done that to us. God has not left us without any warning. God is trying to get our attention. He's trying to get us to listen, trying to get us to sober up and pay attention so that when we come to the end of the way and we recognize there is going to be a great fall, there's going to be a judgment day. And Jesus said, he's going to say to people, depart from me, ye that worketh iniquity. What could be the most serious thing that could happen to you in life? You know, there are a lot of tragedies. My sister died when she was 40 years old of cancer. Her body shriveled up. She got to weighing about 75 pounds. Her teeth even turned black. And I'd never seen anybody in all my lifetime to look at her and to think about what the condition she was in and to see what was happening to her. And it was such a tragedy to look at. I thought there can be no worse tragedy. Then I went to India and saw a man on the side of the road with neurofibromatosis. He was laying completely naked, and he had a bucket in his hand, beating on the street, laying out in the sun, going, oh, 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 and all these little fingers all over his body were wiggling. All the nerve endings had grown tissue, and it was wiggling all over his body. And I thought, there can be no worse thing to happen than that. And I went into a leper colony and preached to some lepers, and saw all these people with their fingers, their toes gone, and they couldn't feel any pain, and these sores, and they were covered up. They were ashamed to let somebody see them. I thought, that has got to be the worst tragedy in all the world, I'm going to tell you. The worst tragedy in all the world is going to be to stand at the end of the road and to hear the Lord say to somebody, depart from me, ye that worketh iniquity. The sad tragedy, good people, of thinking about what's going to happen to folks when they come to the end of the way and they have failed to see what the claim of Jesus was, that it's His Word, it's His will, it's what He says that matters, and that the verdict is going to be that there's going to be a great fall. And you notice that statement, go back to the 13th verse again of that chapter, when Jesus invites us to go into this narrow and confining way. Notice what He said again in verse 13. Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way, which leadeth unto destruction. Now, when you think about going in this narrow way, I like to tell people, when I took my older son years ago down to Florida to go to school, we were driving down the interstate, and a hurricane was coming in off the ocean, and they were warning people that it was to get out of Florida. So we were going down into Florida, and all the interstate that night, cars were lined up as far as you could see, bumper to bumper, headlights, going the other way. And I was going down the interstate with my son and my wife, and I said, you know, I feel kind of strange. I feel like I'm going the wrong way. And my wife said, why is that? I said, because everybody else is going that way. She said, well, that bothers you most of the time. That's the way you go everywhere. Everybody's going that way and you're going some other way. Well, I'm going to tell you, going to heaven's that way. And when we can see not to be afraid, don't be troubled, don't be bothered. If everybody's going that way, don't pay attention to where everybody's going, because Jesus said that way, the way that many go is the way that leads to destruction. Because, you know why? Because straight is the gate. People don't like restriction. People don't want to be told, no, you can't do that. People want to be told, no, that there's a certain way. There's only one way to do something. And it's the Lord's way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. Here, he's saying, you know what that means? If you don't go Jesus' way, you're lost. He's the way. He's the truth. If you don't do what he says, you're doing something that is a lie, because he's the truth. And he is the life. If you don't do what he says, my friend, you're not on the road to living, you're on the road to death. And so if you're here this morning, you've never obeyed the gospel, can you see why this issue of us building on the rock, doing what the Lord said, seeing that's the real issue today. Have you done what the Lord has said? If you've not done that, my friend, it's going to be a sad tragedy for the Lord to look at you and to say, depart from me, ye that worketh iniquity. If you're here this morning and need to obey the gospel, everything's ready. You can come up here with a confession on your lips that you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You can have the desire to make that great confession before people. Repent, change your mind, determine you're going to do the will of God. And I suspect there's water right up here. I was preaching in Kentucky years ago and they had a board up there with a window up like that. And I said, well, if you want to come, there's water up here and we'll baptize you. And one of the men said, no, there's no water here. We'll have to find a pond somewhere. Well, if there's no water here, we'll find a pond somewhere. But if you're here this morning and you want to become a child of God, can you see this message is a divisive message? It says people who do God's will and people who don't do God's will, there's going to be a division between them. Can you see it's a drawing message? Jesus drawing you, saying, listen, you come into the narrow way. You come to the confining way. He's trying to draw us. But it's also a message of damnation to people and salvation to people who do what he says. If you here need to respond anyway, why don't you come and sing the song.